The following program is a presentation of the Flypod New Media Network. www.theflypod.com.
Welcome to My Two Cents. My name is Marianne Stanley, and I invite you to look at some of today's most pressing issues through an entirely different lens than that used by the corporate-owned media. Our focus will be on old-time journalism. In other words, on getting to the truth by referencing facts and sources. Stay tuned and see if you've had a hunger that nothing else could satisfy. Until now, that is. Okay. Let's have a show of hands. How many of you listeners out there have ever watched the Rush Limbaugh show? Actually, I know that's kind of a hard thing to check out on a podcast, but it is something that show's been around now for decades, and he's been in my craw for decades, and so I'm going to make today's show different in format. It's going to actually incorporate something that may sound really, really boring to you, perhaps, but I don't think it really will be once you hear it. I taught speech at an Arizona college back in the 1980s, and one of the things that I taught my students was to identify the fallacies of logic. And the fallacies of logic basically mislead people. They make you believe things you wouldn't normally believe, but they have a way of tricking the listener and pandering to the listener. And they can do this. In Nazi Germany, for instance, the way to do this was to do the ad populum fallacy of logic, which is, instead of talking about the issues in a rational, calm way at all, you don't do that. You basically talk to the fears and the hatred, the prejudices, the biases, the hatreds that are latent in people. And you get them into high emotional mode, and once you've got them, then you can lead them. And that's what Hitler did. And he appealed to their latent biases, their latent hatreds, and their latent fears about the Jews. And that's how they began to do the horrible, horrible things they did in Nazi Germany. Okay, well, we've got our own version of that in... Well, you will see it very clearly in any of Rush Limbaugh's shows where he uses fallacies of logic, and there are many of them. It's not just ad populum. There's ad hominem, which he used against that college student, the law student, who came out in support of birth control for women when she testified, and he basically called her a slut and put her down and attacked her rather than discussing the issue. That's called ad hominem. So there are all of those, and I may do a segment one day on just the fallacies of logic, because it's so, so important that we educate ourselves. We wake up to all of those ways we are being played today by the news media, by the advertising industry, name it. We are not hearing things that appeal to our reason. We are being persuaded instead, and there's a huge difference. I found that when I listened to Rush Limbaugh, he pretty much encapsulated all of the fallacies of logic at various points during his show. And I said, my goodness, this is a perfect example. It's a great exercise for the students to pinpoint them, to name them, and to say what he said that was that particular fallacy. Worked like a charm. The kids came away saying that they were able to see through so many other red flags out there when they watch TV or listen to people talk. So it was a great success. But my reaction after having to listen to his show a couple of times with each of my classes was to write a poem, and I called it Ode to Rush Limbaugh. And here it is. It is often great dumbfounded sadness within that my eyes watch those people afoot in this world, the yellers, fearmongers, the doomsayers all, who see only the leaves that are dried up and curled. And you are the worst, with your charm and a mind that gives punch to the words as they roll off your tongue. But you're passing on hatred with mind-closing labels that stick and are passed to their own fragile young. I hear it, the hatred, the words that destroy, that condemn, judge, and hang those without power or voice. I see it, your smugness, your ease, and your mindset that crushes the blameless but makes you rejoice. It is wrong, and it's deadly, to level your weapon against those who are least able to fight back or retreat. You use words that sound certain, that purport to inform us, but in truth they are rooted in meanness and deceit. Your words come like spit, vile, and dripping with hate, spraying half-truths and lies without conscience or care, kicking sand at the suffering, holding innocents liable, a bully, rallying bullies who have never, quote, been there. You mock race, creed, and gender to serve your own purpose, finding simple solutions to another man's pain, making generalizations to avoid life's dilemmas, seeing no person's torment, preferring to blame. You speak to the lazy, those comfortable people who prefer not to worry about another man's plight. You make mush of their minds with simplistic conclusions and delight in your power at the expense of what's right. It's so sad, at this point in our long evolution, to observe such smallness of spirit, such meanness of mind. Have your listeners forgotten that the God they all point to found only the arrogant, sinful, and blind? Without love, we will perish. Without thought, we will die as a planet, as a people, as the whole human race. We need connected compassion to survive as a species. We need openness, love, and a measure of grace. So when we hear your haranguing, or nasty conclusions, or the reduction of others to objects of hate, we should see it's an indication that the speaker is errant, not a speaker of wisdom we should all emulate. When we feel rancor dripping from negative words of persuasion, and the outcome is anger towards some other man, we should flee from that speaker, not make him an icon, and see instead a man at man's basest with a personal plan. Once we buy your conclusions without in-depth thinking, once we abdicate power without research and sight, we're as guilty as you are of abandoning reason and of trading the sun for irrevocable night. That was written back in 1980, and I just find it so important that somehow what he began back then stops as far as the great growth we're seeing today in bullying. It's at every level. The kids on the bus who bullied the bus monitor, the bullying of gays, the bullying of the weak, the war on women, the attacks on the what are called illegal immigrants or illegal aliens as though they're from another planet. All of these things, and there are so many more than that. I really believe that basically Rush Limbaugh was the Johnny Appleseed of bullying, planting the seeds as he did back then, and they're continuing to this day to grow ugliness and to grow things uglier and bigger and worse and darker than ever before. I wish I could hear that man say at some point, I was wrong. If you look at Taylor Swift, a very young, gifted songwriter and singer, when she was interviewed on 60 Minutes just a couple of weeks ago, and they asked her, they said, do you think you're a role model? And she says, oh, I don't think I'm a role model. I am a role model. And basically what she told the audience was that that's why she's very careful with how she acts and what she says, because she knows that people watch her and that she has an effect on them. That's maturity. That's wisdom. And it really would be more logical if that were coming out of the mouth of an old guy like Rush Limbaugh, who's had many years to learn to live and to grow, than out of a very young woman like Taylor Swift. Not that we all shouldn't have it, but I think it's ironic that we're not seeing it from a man who has every reason to show intelligence and to show that he understands life and its varieties, its vagaries, and not condemn people who are not like him, or, as he did before, to condemn anyone who did drugs and say they all belong in jail until he was caught with OxyContin and his drugs, and suddenly he didn't go to jail, and you didn't hear him talking about drugs like that anymore. That's the kind of deceit. That's the kind of irony in all of this, and I find it destructive. I hope people will begin to stop and listen to his show and pay attention to the feelings that arise in you when he talks, when he tries to make the other exist, the other, somebody who's not you, who's not as good as you, who doesn't deserve what you have, when he labels and attacks people and name calls. Man, that is so important that we get it, that we understand that this is all pandering and playing into our weakest parts of ourselves as human beings. Our fears, yes, our tendencies to separate ourselves from others instead of seeing that we are like each other and we're all connected to each other. We can do so much better. And I just wanted to share this with you today. In future shows, I'm going to be talking about a lot of the things that everyone can hear if they even tune in one time to hear good old Rush. We will be talking about his topics of everything from misogyny to intolerance, judgment. We'll be talking about immigration. We'll be talking about poverty. We'll be talking about homelessness, people who don't have jobs, who have gone through foreclosure. We will talk about life and the things that unite us, not divide us. So that's it for today's show. Thank you for listening. Your feedback is always welcome. Just email us at shout@theflypod.com. Until next time, this has been My Two Cents with Marianne Stanley.